Hey everybody, welcome to our Learn and Grow call with Tim Rode. It is 1:10 p.m. on, what is today? It's today July 9th. Today is July 9th. And we're here with Tim Rode, who is a GoBundance elder. He is an incredible backcountry skier. He loves nature. He was a grocery clerk when he was younger, and he realized that being a grocery clerk for the rest of his life was not the life that he wanted to live. So he got into real estate. And about 15, 20 years later, at the age of the old age of 40 years old, decided that he wanted to retire and spend his time with his family and enjoying life and not working so hard, but he wanted to live life to the fullest with people that he loved, doing things that he loved. I've had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with Tim over the past 2.5 years. And he is someone who has the biggest heart, and also he also has one of the most vivid imaginations of what is possible for us as human beings, and the way that we can come together, support each other, and to learn from each other, and to take our learnings and to help those who need it the most, like kids in inner cities who are struggling with father figures, struggling to find the support and the tools that we all have access to. He brings those in to communities that need them the most. And I'm going to say that a lot of his inspiration behind this and behind what he's been able to accomplish came from his parents, his mom and his dad, who we're going to talk about, and also from being a parent himself. So Mr. Tim Rode, let me see, did I forget anything? Oh, I also once almost knocked Tim over on the ski hill. And I realized that Tim is also someone who has a high level of etiquette. When he is out there skiing on the hill, he's always looking at his peripherals, always looking uphill, figuring out the angle so that he doesn't get into accidents, which is why, Tim, how old are you now?
I'm going to be 60 this year.
60 this year. And I will tell you, whether you are young or you are old, especially if you're young, when you go out on the mountain with Tim, all you see is a young man who is just crushing it. So, Tim, thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I just want to say, when I'm out there with you guys, like we were in Breck, I'm literally 8 years old in my mind. Just, you know, getting the goods in the woods and playing with my homies and woohoo. There's nothing there. What is it? There's no sound as rare and beautiful as that of the adult giggle.
Yeah. Say that one more time.
There is no sound as rare and beautiful as that of the adult giggle. Yeah.
I love that.
Great way to start this off.
Yeah, that is amazing. That's like, especially because I felt the giggle inside of myself as you said the word giggle. And I could feel the
try to feel anger as you're giggling. Yeah.
It's impossible.
You cannot do it.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the giggle. Let's start with the play and you being out in the woods or on the mountain, and the idea of doing what it is that the little kid inside of you, or you know, the passion that you have for something. How important has staying connected to your passions? How important that has been? How important has that been to your own sense of happiness in your life? And then how that relates to your ability to be a parent and a husband?
Yeah, I would put it neck and neck with relationships as being the most important thing, you know, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with those that matter most. And, you know, that's right up there. And so is oxygen and longevity. And you're talking to somebody who just lost his sister this year, who was 2 years my senior, and we were really close. And Melissa loved everybody except herself. And she didn't take care of herself. And she passed, not in a good way, this year. And it just, you know, reminds me of how important your health is. So I literally play every single day. At least 45 minutes. I just ran through my disc golf course right before this call. And it took about 45 minutes. I kind of sped played to just get my heart rate up and get me in state for this. But so I do at least that every day, and then I'll go for a walk with my dog. This weekend I'm climbing and skiing Shasta, if you're at home. Yeah, if you have a mind to jump on a plane, I'm not going to summit it, but there's still really good snow there. I got Mount Lassen on July 4th, and I'm calling this the Summer of Missy, and I'm bringing my sister everywhere I go and sprinkling some of her ashes and just going to places where we talked about before we started recording this. When you get out in nature, it's like superfood for the soul. So I'm taking her to all my favorite places and just really thinking about her and all of those that have come before me. And I just keep getting stronger and stronger in my mind of everything I'm doing because I have all of them with me. And I'm spending more time. When I was young, and Andrea kind of knew me back in the day. She knew, you know, you caught me at the tail end, but I was all head, very little heart. The things they called me was the bull in the china shop, the hurricane. And I got a lot of things done, but those around me didn't always, I wasn't easy to be around. Really. So, yeah. So nature's worked wonders along with Tina on my soul and my character.
Tell us about how your partner and wife Tina have helped you to, you know, do what you just said, which is go from someone who has got a lot done but was really hard to be around to someone who is the guy who anyone could be around these days and look you in the eye and see your heart immediately.
Yeah, I've always cared. I've always, that was one thing my parents put into me, and both parents were strong morals. My dad was, you know what's wrong, you know what's right, do what's right. That's freaking simple. You know what I mean? And my mom was the same way. I'll just say that when I was in real estate, I bought a home, and then a year later, I bought a home around the corner, like I was going to move, diagonal move, and just kept it for a rental, which, you know, I think the statute of limitations is over now, but it wasn't a technically correct move to make. And my mom gave me a lot of guff about it. She was in real estate too. And she was always very strong on, you know, how it was kind of a little tweak in bending the rules, if you will. And she was just strong on morals. And so was Tina. I had you started me at 25. You started the story at 25. Let me go a little earlier. From 0 to 12, idyllic childhood. Well, somewhat. My parents fought like cats and dogs, but I was an AB student, and then my mom abruptly left, and things went awry. And my high school years were horrible. They were wonderful, but they were, you know, pretty. Not the norm with no adult supervision and not making very good decisions. So, which led to one.
And how did you go from being someone who had a mom and dad from 0 to 12 where you're watching them bicker and fight? And then all of a sudden you're saying mom leaves. And like, what do you start getting into? How do you start filling in the gaps of not having a parent? Do you hang out with friends? Do you join a gang? What happens?
Well, first of all, I moved back and forth 4 times. I went to 4 high schools in 4 years. Portola to Oakland to Portola. My senior year, I graduated from McAteer High School in San Francisco. Lived with my aunt and uncle. And it was when there were too many white kids where I lived, so they bused me to McAteer High, which was like 90% black. Same within Oakland. I was at McChesney Junior High, which was like 90% black. And I, you know what? I always got along with folks. They call me Opie Cunningham. yeah, but it was rough. And how can I put this? I did a lot of experimentation and spent a little time in juvie. Just had some rough times and learned a lot of lessons and got very streetwise too. People trying to scam me in Oakland. And I learned a lot really young. And now it's like, you better come pretty freaking strong. I've seen a lot, you know.
And tell us how Tina softened you up. Like, how did she help you to become more tolerable to be around?
So let me give you the overview. I think I've gone from one of the most selfish people you'd know to one of the selfless people you know. And Tina had a major part in this metamorphosis over time. So did nature. So did Janai Lane, thanks to Mike McClure. And I've been coaching with Janai for like 4 years now. And she's just really helped open up my eyes, along with, you know, people like mindful meditation. I'm drawing a blank on her name. You know.
Juliana Ray?
Yeah, Juliana Ray. And sorry about that, Juliana. But
that's okay. It's unified mindfulness.
Unified mindfulness, yeah. And just taking more time to slow down and go in, and the thought process of be overdue. And then getting back to Tina, she is just pure love. And I've watched her love for my kids, Chris and Sarah, and for our kid, Andy. And I've just decided I want to be more like her. And I've also seen her grow on this spiritual walk. And she didn't say, you should come. She kind of hinted, it'd be nice if you came along with me. And it took me a while to get out of my head and consciously more in my heart. But she and I now, I'm listening to, this is how far into the woo she's taken me. I'm listening to Gina Lake, who channels Jesus. And this is also through Janai Lane. And I'm listening to that. And this is Tina's world. And she's teaching me this. She's the teacher in all of this. And it's so fun for us, this chapter. And we're learning and growing together. So beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's taking me, I want to say one other thing. It's helping me evolve into the wise, calm leader I need to be a GoBundance elder and to lead, in my mind, a movement with One Life Fully Lived and everything we're doing with FamBundance and, you know, all the different GoBundance women and all the, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. And the person that sold all of that real estate and invested wisely could not do what, you know, could not be an integral part of these teams, and all the tumultuous stuff that comes up, just calmly look what's for the greater good in all we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Beautifully said, buddy.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I feel so blessed to look where I came, this hit from the sticks, and I'm back where I live, living this amazing life, and I get to, we're doubling Dare to Dream this year, brother, you know?
I know.
And I wake up and every day and find myself getting to play this role. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, give us maybe one or two learnings that you've had that have been instrumental for you to become a better husband and a better father. Two tips that you've learned from Janai, and also from, if you could, the book that Tina gave you about channeling Jesus.
Oh, wow. I think it's the best things they've helped me with, and I'm just thinking of my kids, you know, and the things that what I didn't know then that I kind of see them struggle with now is that she's most helped me with is we look at these obstacles almost like I'm looking out at this beautiful scenery with this mountain. I have this whole landscape, and I'd look at it talking to Janai, and she'd have me imagine that there's a big rock, just giant rock blocking the whole view. And when we all go to that crap place of it's not working, I'm not enough, everyone around me sucks. You know what I mean? We've all, just kind of getting that place, that's when you have that big rock and you're just looking at every reason why it can't work, you know. Yep. And it didn't serve you well at all. And that's the best thing that she's helped me, you know, come through is, you know, just opening up totally. And if you look at it, it's almost the appreciative inquiry mindset of asking, you know, what can be over what is wrong and needs fixing, if that makes sense. Mm. It's just changing the question. So it's a same lesson in the different teaching. And I think the best thing that Tina's taught me is the love and devotion, unconditional devotion that moms have. And I just have so much respect for moms and how much they love and how much they want the best for their kids. And candidly, Tina and I struggled a lot with Andy, especially after he turned 18 and was still kind of finding his way. And we had different styles of my thing is we need to make him a responsible adult who can fend for himself. And her thing was, he had a really tough childhood, didn't fit in, and I'm concerned for him, and I want to make sure that he doesn't, you know, fall into the gutter. Things could go really awry, and it was just that, you know, almost like when an 8-year-old's climbing the tree, and mom says, "Don't, you'll fall," and dad says, "No, climb it. I'll be right here to catch you if you fall, but climb the darn tree," you know. And they want to climb the tree. It's not, if they don't want to, you don't say, "Get up that tree." You know what I mean? But the kid's trying to climb the tree and the mom's saying, "Get off there." It's the same concept of, this there's helicopter parenting. Now there's a new thing. I don't know if you've heard the term. It's a snowplow parenting, where you shovel everything out of their way to make it easy for them. What's the opposite of a gift? Whatever it is, that's what that is. Because the best thing you can let your kids do is just figure this stuff out and give them the, you know, it's almost like a bowling alley and you're the lanes of let them roll the ball, you know, and play their game and figure stuff out for themselves as much as possible. It's so good, you know.
So. Yeah. Man, well said. Thank you. I want to number one, acknowledge you for such a great way of comparing when a kid turns 18 and moves into, let's just call it, the real world of responsibility, right? Like right. Making their own decisions, and how you and Tina had some differing opinions on the approach, and how that's so relatable to a kid being 8. Climbing the tree and parents. Now, how did you and Tina, in the 18-year-old version and also the younger version, how have you found ways to work together to combine or collaborate on those approaches to not, you know, argue and to be on the same page?
Yeah. And if you take it younger, it's taking the training wheels off sometime between 3 and 5. What's the best time to do it? Dad's, get him off. Let's see him roll. I'm like, "No, they fall." And you know, so and I want to let you know how challenging it was for us. First of all, we hired him a counselor because he has some ADHD and kind of needed some help with some stuff. And he also worked with us on how to work with Andy. And during this period, it was probably for like a year and a half, sometime around 18 to 20, let's say. There was a time I stole her phone and forbid her from talking to our son. you know, I think you can imagine how well that went over. They both kind of laughed at me and stuff. But it was just it was tough because my job is to help them become a man. And I'm really proud to say, here we are 4 or 5 years later, and he owns his own auto shop and just expanded to 3 bays over 1 and he's got like 5 employees and he's crushing it. He's come, you know, he's come a long way. And now Tina and I, it's funny because there's still things that come up over how much should we, I'm more of a, you're their cheerleader and advisor. She's more, hey, let's make sure financially, you know, things roll well. And I, you know, so what I'm saying is it's still something that can come up. However, we have much better tools, I would hope, after 28 years of how to deal with our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanna open it up for anyone on the call. I know Kendall's on the call. Andrea's on the call. We have Integrity Mortgage on the call. We have a handful of others on the call. In regards to these Learn and Grow calls, one of the great advantages or benefits, you might call it, of being a member of the FAMBundance community is you're the only ones who are invited to be on this call live, where you get to ask questions of the contributors that we bring to the call. So that's a prompt for you on the call to jot down a question or two that you want to ask Tim. And as soon as you're ready to ask the question, you can unmute yourself and I'll be tracking who's unmuting themselves. Or you can turn your video on so that we can see you. And I will call on you and you can ask Tim whatever you want. And Tim just sent me a message that said, ask anything.
I just want to add value. And, you know, I admire all of you, as I call it, in the trenches today. You know, you're warriors, first of all, for your kids, you know, and for yourselves and for your marriage. And it's not easy juggling all three of this. I remember those days. So I commend you.
And I see Andrea's unmuted, so I'm wondering if she has a question. Nope. We'll wait. So get your questions ready. I have another question for Tim, which is, tell us what you saw from your dad when you were growing up. So imagine being a kid. What were the things that your dad did that made you feel loved and also that gave you inspiration for wanting to be your best?
I remember riding with him when I was really young in a car, and he'd always reach down and grab me just above the knee. If you grab right there, it's kind of, he'd look at me and he'd say, you know what? I don't like you. You know, just with a big old smile on his face, but just gave me confidence and courage that I'm a good guy. And what else? The biggest thing he did for me was he was a teacher, and I knew my add, supply, multiply, and subtract inside out and backwards by like fourth grade, which you don't learn all that till like sixth grade. And so I'm a whiz at numbers and basic math. But what's funny is I got so bored with it. I couldn't do any algebra, any fancy stuff. I could not do but basic stuff, which served me well. So that, I thank them. Both of them were really into teaching me. I never went to college. You know, wasn't really into, deeper learning, if you will, but they both had a curiosity for life and for, as I said, my dad for nature. It just always, he loved the, you know, different lights on the mountain and the, you know, different hues, he would call them, you know, different, just different coloring and stuff. So it gave me a great love for nature. And then my mom really supported me. I don't know why. I always liked to make money and earn. I never wanted anything, but she always supported me in that. Would you know, just help me order greeting cards from a back of an Archie comic book. And when I was 8 years old, and, you know, just helped direct me in the right direction, which I just want to say one thing that I think is really important that we carried on to our kids is helping them find at a young age what they like and go after it, you know, not what you like. And I'll give you a good example. I coached my older kids in Little League and basketball and stuff and just so enjoyed those years. Andy came along 8 years later and I was so happy to have another kid to coach and play ball with and stuff. And I went to play catch with him at four, and after four throws, he's like, hey, Dad, let's count the stitches on the ball. And he just was never a team sport ball guy. So instead, he was always into computers and cameras and techie things. So we sent him to UC Berkeley Cyber Camp from like 8 to 12, and he learned how to write code and build robots and learned a program called Gearhead Garage where you take engines apart and put them back together. And now what does he do? He takes you know, just finding where your kids' likes and interests and helping them develop them.
Let's go back a minute there, because there's a real specific point in time where you're playing catch with Andy, and Andy goes in a direction that is different than the expectation that you've already created in your mind for the way that you want to relate. How do you start navigating your own expectation and your own desire and your own vision for how these team sports have worked well for your past children, and now you have this new one? Now you might have to redirect. What's happening inside of your head, and how are you making sense of all this?
That's a great question. So we've all seen those parents that are that parent, and they're just they're reliving their childhood through their kids. So their kids may or may not want to be there, and they just want it more than their kids do. Rather than just letting their kids play their game, it's their turn, you know, and you got a different role at this point. So if you're paying attention and you're emotionally aware, it didn't take long to figure it out. You know, I played catch with them. You didn't want to do that. And then we put him in T-ball, and he was the kid out in right field throwing dirt clods and chasing butterflies. And that was that. There was no more ball for Andy. You know, I don't even think he made a season. We tried him out for soccer, and the ball touched his foot twice. you try and you push, you know, a bit. I think we definitely wanted him to learn how to swim, and he got swimming lessons. You know, there's things that are important, but you just pay major attention. Now, here's something we teach you one law. That's for youngsters just starting out, and parents, think about this. Think of your kids. Do they like to be by themselves, or do they like to be around people? Do they like to be indoors, or do they like to be outdoors? Do they like to think? Do they like to talk, or do they like to use their hands? What juices them? When do they come alive? What are they doing? You know, and just really pay a lot of attentions and be curious. Be curious about how you can help them develop, you know, their most fulfilling future. As I look at it, your job is to do that from prenatal. You got them till around 14 or 15, and then it's pretty tough from there. You know, the dice cast really of who they are and what their personalities are. And then it's kind of helping them direct, and what are they going to do and where are they going to go. And then once they're, in my mind, 18, your role changes and you're a full-time cheerleader. You're their biggest fan. You're rooting for them, but you're not solving stuff. You're helping them best figure it out.
Absolutely. In my experience, there is so much truth to what you just said in regards to the way that a parent is looking for the cues and the clues of who their kids are. And what I think might even be what I can see in my own parents is that not only did they look for them, but they didn't try so hard to find them that they could identify it. They really created a safe foundation and a loving foundation for me to kind of navigate and figure it out, and for them to then support versus them trying to identify it at a young age. It was almost as if they just continued to try and give the opportunities for me to go express myself, whether it was through sports or through being in a band or for going wakeboarding with my friends or, you know, through any sort of entrepreneurial adventure. They never were like, well, you need to do this. They were always like, how, almost like, how can we support you to have this adventure? And because of that, it gave me this extra level of kind of confidence in myself to go explore the opportunity.
Right.
And yeah. I love my mom and dad so much. And when I look back on how they did that, they were so masterful of just helping me to explore everything that I was passionate about. And it helped me at a young age to feel alive. And the only time in my life that I've not felt alive is when I started to think I needed to be someone to be accepted by society between the ages of about 18, 19, and 29. In that phase, without my mom and dad, right? Now they're not there. So 18, it starts without them. And then at 29, I start to reconnect to the kid that they helped create. But for 10 years, I was lost in the world. Wow. And it was only the foundation that they created for me at a young age that allowed me to navigate back to see that the real beauty and fulfillment in life and that the deep meaning comes from connecting to those things that you really love to do.
Exactly. That is so on point. And that's our one life fulfillment triangle. Bottom left, where are my passions? Bottom right, where are my talents? Top opportunity in the marketplace. Where do my passions meet my talents? Where there's opportunity. And how can I be a part of a thriving, vital, vibrant team where I'm an honored, vital piece of it? You know, holding more than holding up my end to make sure we're all flying in formation and rocking it. Whether it's yourself, your family, your work, your whatever you do. Hope I'm not freezing.
Yeah, this is kind of off topic, but on topic, as like we were just in the mountains with 11 Fambundance kids.
Yes.
So we had our youngest one was 8 years old, and our oldest was 13, and everything in between. For 5 days and four nights at 9,000 feet elevation, 90 degrees during the day with sun and 37 degrees at night. Ooh, in tents. Let's just say the first night we were a little underprepared, but we navigated and got the right resources, and those kids were warriors. And what I wanted to bring in is that something that was so important to that trip was having the female energy of one of our team members, Danny, who was there as kind of a mama bear to this group of kids, and how important that energy was and how grateful we are as a team to have someone who can show up and bring their strengths and their talents forward in such a great capacity to be such a great role model for all of these young kids. And just the idea, again, it's a little off topic. It's just an idea of how in all these different situations, whether it's with your family or with where your kids are going to be on a team or to be coached, who are the coaches and who are the people that are supporting them? Because they also become kind of like secondary parents in the way that they start to help your kids evolve. And we're so lucky to have someone like Danny who just like showed up, was all about making sure everyone was taken care of, carried herself really well, was just an excellent role model that every Fambundance family would be like, I'm so grateful that my daughter got to spend time with that woman.
Wow.
And so like, there's just a side note that in all of your kids' lives, there are so many figures that they're being trained by. And the coaches and the teachers are a big part of the training of your kids along with the parents. So, you know, who are, and I know the parents in this community take that very seriously of who it is that is helping to train our kids and to influence our kids, especially in these younger ages.
That's wonderful. Good for you, Danny. That's incredible. And that's one thing the mountains and adventure afford is the opportunity for things to go awry and for you to have to dig deep and find tools you don't know you have and use your creativity and your resourcefulness. And think of this as parents, sometimes things go awry quickly. And you know, you almost have to do triage and stuff like that. And that's where it's incumbent upon you to gain your own emotional intelligence, your ability to work extremely well with your partner, and your ability to train your family to work as a unit when it hits a fan. You know, those are things you can work on. Those are things when it does go wrong, whether it's just a family outing or you're out in the boonies and you're way away from safety. And it's very, very serious if it doesn't, you know, if you don't get it right. And maybe somebody yells at somebody else because they're aware of how serious the situation, you know what I'm saying? But afterwards, just the ability to go back and look at, all right, what could we have done better? You know, as myself, as my mate, and as the adult in this situation. You know, and talk it through with the fans. It's how we get better, how we learn.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to open it up again for questions. If anyone has a question for Tim, it could be anything. It could be around parenting tips. It could be around how Tim has again, connected to his passions of getting the goods in the woods and skiing and how that's played a role in him helping his own son, Andy, to connect to his passion of, I don't know what you'd say it, how you would say it, but basically, what would you say his passion is?
Well, Andy's a semi-pro drift car racer and his passion is cars. So he's turned his passion into a business as at 24 years old. Now he's 25. He owns, I think it's the largest auto repair shop in Reno, for high performance engines. And he's got an amazing business. He's got, it's called Car Shop Boba. And Boba is an Asian tea, and he mostly works on Asian cars that they use for drifting and high performance racing. And so his tagline is Car Shop Boba, a refreshing experience. And if you've ever been to a mechanic, you know it's always not refreshing.
So, definitely not refreshing.
Yeah. So he's got a really cool, and in Reno, Lake Tahoe area, where there's a lot of trust fund kids with money, too much money and not, you know, the tagline is take it to Boba. That's what on Facebook there's a, hey, what should I do with my car? Take it to Boba. And Andy's done a good job with him. Really proud of what he's done, as well as my other kids. They're 36 and 34, Chris and Sarah, and they're both have totally fended for themselves really since around 20 years old and are happy, healthy, contributing adults. And, you know, as a parent, you worry about your kids going off the deep end and, you know, going off on the opioid crisis or having a career or a mate that they're not happy with. And there's just so much out of your control at that point and not much you can do about it. And that's why while you have them, while they're young, just like how you were saying, Jeremy, how they had such an effect on you from 0 to 10 that came back to you at 30. You know, how beautiful. Well, that's what, you know, the Fan Abundance parents. And you're doing it. You guys are spending the time. You're doing all the right things.
Yeah, these families are absolutely amazing. Watching what happened at the couple's trip that was combined with the camping adventure. On the last day, we all came back together. So like there's whatever 10 couples are with Dr. Kelly Flanagan and Alana Pratt for 5 days. while Braden, myself, and Danny are with all of with their kids in the mountains, an hour and 15 minutes away or so.
So cool.
And the fifth day in the morning, the parents come back together with the kids. And at 8:30 in the morning, we do a closing circle at 9,000 feet up with two big mountains. And the closing circle is share what you appreciate about each other, the FamBundance community, or this experience. And to get nine families in a circle at that place and to see those couples and those families reconnect after days apart in the way that they've just nourished themselves, separate parts now coming back together as the whole for it to be stronger, life-changing experience for myself as a facilitator and leader. I couldn't be more excited about what the FamBundance events that we've all experienced at these really great hotels and nice places, maybe a little rustic in our last Philly one, as many people experienced. But this one was like, it was incredible. And all the credit goes to the families and all the credit goes to the kids. We just put an opportunity there. Those kids could have quit. They could have given up. They could have been like, I'm feeling altitude sickness, which many of them definitely did. They were incredible. Their resilience, what your kids are able to accomplish, especially when you're not there to snowplow, as Tim would say, when you don't paint, when you don't put the snowplow in front of them and pave the way so it's clean. Like, I thought for sure these kids would give up. Like, because they were, some of them were getting sick. And the kid who got the sickest, his parents had to come pick him up. And less than 12 hours later, he was back and he was like, where's the knife? Where's the wood? I'm ready to carve. Yeah. He's like, carving's on the agenda. And I know I threw up last, he's eight.
Yeah.
He was like determined. And it was amazing to watch what these kids could do. And kudos to the families who were like, hey, Kendall, your family, obviously, yeah, we're talking about your son right now, who was a warrior. And so Kendall, three of his kids were there. And yeah, Owen was just like a super warrior coming back from sickness. So, and yeah, it was awesome. So yeah, the families here are doing really, really great stuff. They're putting their kids in their position, in a position to really win and create a life for themselves that is fulfilling, meaningful. And also, I think at the end of the day, one of the things that all the parents are looking for, and I think you have it, Tim, with your kids, and let's finish with this, unless someone has a question, is, and I recognize it with my parents, I think you have it, and I see it with these kids in FamBundance and what they'll grow to be, is you all will grow up to be friends as families. Like, the moms and the dads, the role of mom and dad will be there, the role of kid will be there, yet it will be a vague representation of what it is right now, and what it will be is human beings coming together as individuals who respect each other and are looking to help each other along the way. I'd love to hear your experience with your kids being older and how you've become friends with your kids.
I'd like to have the whole thing come full circle. The most difficult thing ever happened to me in my life was when I became successful in real estate. My ex-wife, Kim, married immature grocery clerk, you know, who really wasn't ready for relationship and life and stuff, and candidly married the wrong people. And she was mature enough to say, I'm not happy with you, and I want to live a different life. And I was stuck on, I promised your dad, and they lived happily ever after, and probably would have stayed with her, and we would have been miserable. Thankfully, she had the wisdom that saw a better life, and we both created amazing lives. And now here we are, you know, gosh, 30 years later, 2 weeks ago, our entire extended family, my wife, my kids, our kids, her kids that she had after us, all of her grandkids were all camping at a lake 5 miles from us. Together. And my daughter asked my ex's husband and my wife, aren't you jealous? Kim and my ex and I were down at the lake with the two young ones, showing them in this book what they're seeing with the different birds and trees and stuff like that. And it's so beautiful. We all play together. And this last weekend, my ex and her husband spent the weekend at our house babysitting the dogs. So the kids, all of us kids, listen to that. That's great. All the kids and I could go to the High Sierra Music Festival together. So I took the kids to the music festival, and my ex and her husband babysat the dogs so we could go have fun. And then we all got together after and had a barbecue. So let's look at what's going on here. It's the most proudest accomplishment of my life is my relationship with my ex. And they're actually moving to our town, and we all love each other. We like to spend time together. And we have all these inside jokes because we've been together forever. And there's, you know, so it's funnier than heck. It's all amazing. And it's a part of another amazing team where I own my end of it. And I'm one of the patriarchs. So is Dan. And I respect the matriarchs. And I, you know, just feel like we're creating all these brand new. Every year we'll go up to that lake, you know, and those youngsters and the future grandkids are going to get so much love and so much wisdom, so much. Pat Hyben has on his arm, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Mm. Yeah. So anyway, I think. That's just the beauty of love and the beauty of life is your ability to just love unconditionally. And, you know, Dan and Kim are way different than Tina and I. And we share these beautiful kids and now grandkids. And something that is so treasurable that I absolutely revere it, you know. So,
and beautiful, man.
Feel blessed. So, yeah. So,
well, does anyone have any questions for Tim? I feel like I've hogged all the questions, although I've really appreciated being able to ask all these, buddy. We've spent so much time together, and it's so much of it is built around what we do together in regards to how we're trying to change the world that we don't necessarily always have time to get into to these types of questions. So I'm so grateful to be partners with you in this journey of life and to make the difference that we've made. So before we go, I want to open it up to Kendall. Just popped on. He might have a question. I see Corrine. I see Andrea still there. Somehow she's unmuted, but still has not managed to really disrupt the call, which I'm super impressed with. Thank you for that, Andrea. Kendall.
Hey, no questions. Just appreciative of you, Tim, taking your time. I can listen to you all day, brother. It's wisdom that I hope to impart on my family, and a lot of similarities with separated family and trying to keep things together. So anyways, man, I just appreciate your wisdom and thank you.
Yeah, I know it's a really rare thing that we've created. Thank you for that, Kendall. When I sold real estate, I saw so many families split up, and candidly, a lot of the guys were really weak, you know, and when the lady got strong and wanted to leave and stuff, and it was, I just saw how not to show up. So when that happened, I made a, you know, I brought these kids into this world, and I truly care about them and want to man up and hold up my end. And thanks, Kendall. It's just what a man does, you know. So
that's great. That's a great, like, this is just a great way of saying it so simply, you know, in the culture that we're in and the responsibilities that that we choose to have. Would anyone else want to say anything, acknowledge him, appreciate him, or ask him any questions? Great. Hey,
if I could just wrap it up by saying I'm so proud of what you all are creating. I think Fambundance is just something absolutely amazing. And I give Mike and Brother James and everybody who's had the idea for this and dreamed it, planned it, and now you're all living. That just so warms my heart. You saw me write love, get them out. Would love to see more of that with these kids. As you know, anybody that spends time out in nature knows there's no better teacher than Mother Nature. So all I got to say to everybody that's listening live is listening to the recording. Just think you're part of a unique counterculture that we're creating. And it's a culture of can do. And you're instilling that in your kids. And Brother James said it earlier, the best thing we can do is kind of just be there if they fall, but allow them a wide berth to create their own life. And even when sometimes it feels like the best thing that you can do is, you know, be close and help them fix the problem, boy, really check yourself and give them a wide berth to figure some stuff out themselves. And I think it's I think you're doing them a service by doing that. So anyway, I love this community, and thank you so much for the opportunity, Brother James, and you guys keep up.
No, there, man. Hey, and we're not going to get off this call without you telling everyone where they can go to both get information on One Life and also where they might want to sign up for the One Life experience in October.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Of course.
I didn't want to do a commercial unless to ask.
Give us a commercial, buddy.
Anyone that knows me knows I love GoBundance, but my heart is serving those that need it the most. And the whole concept, really, of GoBundance and One Life is, in GoBundance, we help those who are on their way, well on their way, and at a mastery level, rock the things that matter most so we can reach down and help those that never get this message in the inner cities rock their world. So that's what One Life's all about. You can get more information at onelifefullylived.org. And we would absolutely love for you to sign up and come to our conference, which is October 12th and 13th. Information is also at onelifefullylived.org. And we have something for everybody there. FamBundance is helping your youngsters 4 to 18 learn all of our One Life teachings, which are vision planning, relationships, finances, and wellness. This is the basic core teachings of creating that fulfilling life we were talking about. So you can help your kids master it while right across the hall, you're learning from Jeff Hoffman, Garrett Gunderson, Christopher Lockhead, Cody Sanchez, Rhonda Smith, Carolyn Colleen, 40 world-class presenters on, once again, vision planning, relationships, finance, and wellness. And so anyway, it's where our One Life community comes together to learn so we can do what we do in the inner city. And you can see at onelifefullylived.org how you can support us. Like Kendall supports us through our contributor club at $4.99 a month, which helps us create our programs, which we're expanding all over the country and someday all over the world. So thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you so much for your support, Kendall. And there's so many more of you that support us in so many ways. And I'm just so proud of what we've done with One Life to date. And as the Carpenters sang, old school here, we've only just begun.
That is the way we will end this call. That is beautiful, man. Thanks for sharing all that with us. That's the way we'll end the call. I could say so many things right now. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Mr. Tim Rode, we will have this video live you guys just saw the video, but we'll have it live in like 24 to 48 hours. With show notes, with links to One Life Fully Live, with links to the conference, and also a way you can donate to Dare to Dream. And Tim, see you soon, my friend. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. Make it an amazing, amazing day.
Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.